The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
Praise God! Praise God! Hallelujah! Oh, my Lord. Anoint every one of us. Help us to dig out our wells. Get the water to flow in our life once again. I know, Lord, I know that, Lord. The Lord said, there are some people you're just disappointed with me. Not me, Mark. I don't mean that. You may be disappointed with me too, but the Lord said, there's some people here disappointed with him, God. Somehow something's happened or it didn't happen. And the Lord said, I want you to fix that right now while we stand here together. Get me off your hit list. That's what the Lord just said. Get me off the bad list. I'm not the bad guy. I'm your God. And I pray whoever you're talking to right now, Lord, they will get rid of this disappointment that they have about you. It'll go away. It'll be pushed aside. And they're not going to blame you for anything. No, you're the one that's going to help us. You don't cause it. You've come to help us with it. Oh, Safana Mandela Basakato Shabbat. Help us with it. Help us with it. You see, if God is on your hit list, you're in trouble because there's no higher power. Nobody out trumps God. So a lot of well-taught Christians, they don't necessarily blame God for stuff, but they have this weird little twist of Calvinism. And they say, well, I know the Lord didn't cause it, but he must have had a reason he wanted it to happen to me. It doesn't matter if you say God did it all, or he just did part of it, or he just watched you suffer. You got to get him off your hit list. Amen. Now, the Lord has predicted some pretty ugly stuff that's coming down the pike. I asked a preacher the other day, you ever hear the word propitiation? That's in your Bible. And what it means is God is so ticked off that it took the spilt blood of Jesus to hold him back from killing all of us again. But if you think God's happy and that these billboards I see that God's not angry or is not angry with you, you need to read the book of Revelation. Because he's one ticked off God. And he's going to pour out, the Bible says, his wrath. And not one of those vials are opened in hell. They're all opened in heaven. And the curse of all curses will be poured out upon the earth. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we're looking pretty good, guys. Do not bring, I'm not teaching right now, I'm kind of prophesying. God's talking to me. Do not bring indictments against heaven. I don't know who you are. Might be more than one, but the Lord's saying this to me. Tell them to quit bringing indictments against me and against heaven. I don't bring sickness. I bring healing, the Lord said. Amen. I don't bring poverty. I bring prosperity. I don't bring turmoil. I don't cause turmoil. I cause peace. Amen. Amen. The Lord doesn't bring dismay. He brings courage. And so, and the list goes on and on and on, that we got to quit blaming God for stuff. And we got to get rid of this weird little doctrine. Well, I know he didn't do it, but for some reason, I guess he wanted that to happen to me. Or for some reason, he didn't stop it. That's the same thing in different words, but that's the same thing as saying he has something to do with your downfall. Now, again, the problem with this is, if you really believe that, shut up, puss up, swell up, fall down and die, because there's nobody to out-trump the Almighty. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, you know it, you're Bible people. But I'm here to tell you that God's on our side. And we don't have answers for everything, and don't let anybody fool you like they do. We don't have answers for everything, you know. The Bible is the, you know, the word Bible's not in the Bible, right? It's a, the word Biblios, not in Spanish, well, kind of in Spanish too, but in Latin, it means a collection of principles and truth to cause you to live the way God wanted you to on the earth and take you to heaven. That's why it was named the Bible. Now, it's also named the Holy Scriptures, but it's named the Bible. And if we stick with the Bible, now maybe there's some things you need God to do for you he hasn't done yet. But that doesn't mean he's not gonna. There may be some things that's happened to you and me that we can't explain, you know. But you probably know that when you get to heaven, but you might not know it this side of heaven, right? And so the Lord said, when we were worshiping, and when I stood up here, he started to talk to me, and he said, you tell them to not be disappointed with me, God. Whoever it is, tell them to stop. I'm on their side. I'm on their side. And I didn't cause any of this. Say that with me. God did not cause any of this. That's good to know, isn't it? That's good to know. Now let's lift our hands to him for a minute. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. You've been so good to us. The truth is, Lord, we're a needy people. Even knowing what we know, even having what we have, anointed the way we are, all this word, all these preachers, all these church services, all this that we've accumulated, we still find ourselves a needy people. We still need you to touch our life. Do it, Master, tonight. Just anoint every single one of us tonight. La maso flena ke stonoma. Lego de la masta kesho. There's some things about to break loose for you. It's like the blessing of God has been bottled up, and the best things of God have not manifested the way they should. But the Lord says, I am going to uncork the bottle of blessing, and I'm going to supernaturally pour it over your head. And it's going to run down over you like the sweet oil of anointing. And these things are about to happen for you in your life. And I lay hands on you for it, son. And I believe God with you. This is going to happen. The best things in God are about to manifest for you. And this anointing that's deep in you, I'm just talking from the Lord. This anointing that's deep in you, this gift of God to help build his house and to help his people and even help troubled young people, it's in there. It'll never leave you. The enemy has tried to discourage you in it, postpone it. But I tell you, I was talking to you when you were still in your mother's womb. I was talking to you when you were so young. That was me talking to you in your bedroom and in the night season as you grew through the things of God. And I am talking to you now, and I'm telling you, you are called by the Most High God, and the favor of God's going to come, and the anointing of God is going to come. And you're going to fulfill your ministry in the earth in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God for it. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Uh-huh. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Selamande de Bosha Kelamanda. My son, you are so much more highly anointed than the size of church that you have now. I've qualified you to, you can handle hundreds of my people to lead them and feed them. You've been faithful to me in that little town. Yes, you have. And I salute you, and I'm standing with you in that. But you're not there because you're small. You're not in a small area, huh? Yeah, yeah. The Lord said, you're not in a small area because you're small. You're there by the assignment of God because I had other people who were cowards that wouldn't do what I told them to do. It takes courageous warriors to go to hard battlefields. I speak this church is going to grow. The money's going to come. He's going to have his finest day. They are going to have their finest day in ministry to serve you, to have money, to buy equipment, to take care of their facilities. And I thank you, Lord. Shut the mouths of all the yakkers and liars and critics and let people come and feed off their ministry. I pray that over you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let me find my oil. I anoint you with oil. I love you. You know that. I anoint you with oil in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I anoint you with oil in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Let this be the seal of heaven. I know they know they're called. I know they know they're ordained. Let this be, my Lord, the seal of heaven that they are going to plow forward into the future and they are going to see my God, their God, move on their behalf in the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth. Now let's cheer once. Come on, let's praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 Come on here. Labo solamando la basa ke la mandevi. Lebando livli pesteke sholamanda. There'll be a supernatural manifestation now happen in your life. The moment has come. The time is upon you. This is it. It's not going to happen a year from now. This is it. It begins tonight, the Lord says. A supernatural manifestation of my impartation into your life. Touch her mind and touch her body. I'm going to run through your blood. I'm enhancing your blood. I'm going to run through your circulatory system. And I'm going to touch this organ and I'm going to touch that one. And I'm going to speed up even your metabolism. You are going to be on fire in the supernatural realm, but you're going to be on fire in the natural realm. I'm turning up your thermostat, and because of it, it'll cause your dream to come true. I thank you, Lord, and anoint her for the ministry that you have called her to. You are, you are, you are. The Lord says you are called by God. You are called by God. You and this man of yours... Oh, yeah, that's a day if we can get him past your dad's approval. You and this man of yours is going to, they're going to do a lot of work for me, the Lord says. He's going to breathe on you now. Just receive that. He's just going to breathe on you. And just put it in her soul, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Just breathe on her. Pray for her now. Do it. Just breathe on her. Father, I thank you. I thank you for it. 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 Oh, yeah. Let me anoint you. Come on, Lord. Let me anoint you. Father, I anoint you with oil, Debbie. Let the strength of God continue to be upon your heart. Now the Lord says, relax. We'll put the answer in your soul. Some of this struggling and decision-making and pressure and this gray cloud. Now, I know some things. I'm your pastor. But I don't speak by what I know. I speak by what God's telling me right now. This heavy, heavy, weighty blanket is going to be removed from you. And you're going to once again, it's hard right now because your brain, you know, you're going to live light and easy again. You were in a great battle with your beautiful husband till he went to heaven and got his promotion. And now you're in this battle. You've been in a battle a long time. But the Lord says it's going to be light and easy once again. The anointing's coming upon you. And it's going to stick with you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I thank you. Just touch her and make her strong and just guide her path, Lord. That's what I pray. Just guide her path. Let this dark cloud, Sarah, is Sarah here? Come help me, darling. Praise God. Amen. Just lay hands on her, will you? Vicky, come on, lay hands on her. Come on, lay hands on her. This is a great lady. A lot of you know the Holmans, but this is a great lady. We're just going to anoint her. Anoint her. Lay hands on her. Whisper in her ear. Do something. Man, you get holy women praying, man. Stuff starts to turn. Let me tell you that right now. I anoint you with oil. I've done it before. Just play, guys. Just play. I anoint you with oil in the name of Jesus. I see a stronger. First of all, I see that anointing accumulating upon you. I hear it in your voice when we talk. And God's doing it. But the Lord said, anoint you tonight. Anoint you tonight that an even stronger pastoral anointing comes upon you. Oh, yeah, yeah. And listen to what the Lord just said to me. You tell them, this has gone beyond inheritance now. This has gone beyond what you've inherited. This has gone beyond what your daddy left you. This is no longer just duty. This is no longer you being a noble, honorable son and daughter. No. This is now yours. The Lord said, I anoint them for ownership of this vision. Anoint them for ownership of this house. And anoint them for ownership of the flock of God. And because of it, an even heavier anointing will set upon you to lay hands on them and to lead them. Praise God. Ha! Yeah, sepochete, and to feed them. And the Lord said, Mom will be okay. Don't be so worried about it. Mom's going to be okay. Now here he comes on you. Breathe on him. Great Holy Spirit. Just put that in them and anoint that in them. That's what I pray. Let them take it home with them so they can do the work of God. Oh, my. I think we ought to pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's do it. Come on, this church knows what to do. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's pray in the Spirit. In the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that anointing tonight. Lemav lebole bode lenestike lebotalamai. Yeah, yes. I want Gary, come up here, Cook. Gary Cook and Sue, come up here. Work your way up here. The Lord said, anoint them with oil tonight. God's going to breathe in your soul. You both need a touch in your body. We know that. But the Lord said, I'm going to breathe in their soul. Now, I'm a combat veteran. I'm a Marine leader. You know that. You know me a lot of years. I know battle fatigue, my brother, when I see it. I know that look in the eye. I can't be fooled about it. I know you're trying to be tough. I know that. but in the old time it was called it shell shock. They just had so many setbacks and so much combat that every time a bomb went off, even in the future, they would shake and quake and say, oh my God. You need your God to move on your behalf. I know that.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that. But the Lord said tonight, I'm going to breathe in their soul.
Breathe on.
I'm going to breathe my life into their soul. I'm going to bring Zoe into their soul so their strength will return. So their courage will rise. I have never repented, the Lord says, for making you an elder and an elder in this house, and an elder you will be until you take your last breath. Now let this anointing come on them, Lord. I put oil on them tonight from the prophet's office. Thank you. I know they're battling. I know it. I see it. But Lord, I thank you for victory. I thank you for victory in their bodies, but I thank you for victory in their souls. In the Lamose La Mandela. Let this Sheke La Mandola. Let this stinking dark demonic cloud that has hovered over you. Wait, it's not you. It just feels like it is. Because you gotta look at the dumb thing every day.
Come on.
But the Lord said, I'm gonna dissipate that cloud starting tonight. That thing's gonna lift off from you, and the strength of God is gonna come on you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lamo Libo de la Basheke. Breathe into his soul. Breathe into her soul. Touch their bodies with healing in Jesus' name. Josh, come here. Come on. Put a hand on them. There's something you got for them in your Levadola Basha. Live and not die. Live like you're alive. Come on, everybody. This is pretty severe. Come on, this is pretty severe. Ray, come here, Ray, bitch. Strength. I speak strength into their life. Strength into their life. All right, listen. Listen. I want every preacher in this house to walk by them and lay hands on them. Do it. Every preacher in the house. Walk by. That includes spouses. Come on. Walk by. If you got something to tell them, tell them. But at least lay a hand on them in your passing. We're laying hands on the cooks tonight. For this dark cloud to dissipate. For God to breathe into their soul. Damasakato dabashakato labasaka. Kalabado lamasande la boshakelama. Levasoke de la mama gade la boshikat. Lefasola mande le boshtike la manda la masaka. Le sakala mando la bashaka. Le pasalanda la masaka. Come on, let's sing! Come on, let's sing.
I reach my hands to the heavens. Lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. So I will worship. I reach my hand to the heavens. I lift my trust in you. Perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power. And it is your will that my life is healed.
Now, I saw a vision of you, Chuck Moore. The Lord said, as you walk out of this warfare, there'll be a mantle thrown upon you. Work your way this way. Work your way this way. Work your way. There'll be a mantle thrown upon you. There'll be a mantle thrown upon you to lay hands on the sick. Ha! To lay hands on the sick. They're going to hunt you down, son. They're going to find you. They're going to be desperate people. And you'll lay hands on them. And the word will spread. You're not just a cancer survivor, man. You're a warrior of God, and people are going to come from here and come from there. And you're going to change the lives. You're going to change the lives of a lot of people. I think we'll all just pray in the Holy Ghost, do it. I think we'll just pray in the Holy Ghost, do it. Sabado la masa kanda da basa da la manda. Come on, let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Mama sunday mo fere. Sabado la masa, come on, God. Sabado la basa da la manda la basa da la manda. Yep. They're gonna come and find you. They're gonna find you. You're gonna lay hands on them. And they're going to recover. They're going to recover. I claim recovery. I claim recovery for all of us. I claim recovery for all of us. Come down here. Sabamaste kele maste kele mosipata. Sanasta kola mande. Vlenusto ke bishike lima. You're about 6.5 years old. And I put this gift in your soul. And I don't ever plan to take it out. And I have not postponed it, my dear daughter. You have. But now you are primed to charge your future. Ha! Charge into your future. I'm going to anoint you for it from the prophet's office. Your miracle will continue. Not sure what all that means. Your miracle will continue. I'm not done with it yet. And I'm not done with you yet. And it's just going to continue. But I'm about to pull that gift out of you that I've been waiting for this day for a long time. Longer than you have, baby. I've been waiting for this day. I'm going to pull this gift out of you. It is going to manifest in your life. Watch her now. I anoint you for it. Now he's going to breathe on you. He's going to breathe on you. Just let him do it. He's just going to breathe on you. Many things come to us by the breath of God.
Yes.
By the breath of God. He breathes that right into our soul. Hey, well, some of you holy women, get over here and lay hands on her. Come on. Some of you holy women, we're just going to agree with her. Her future, man, I see it so clear. She's got a little joy about it now, but her brain has lied to her. She can't see the whole future. But I can see it in the eyes of the prophet. It is good. It is good. It's good, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. TJ, come down here, man. Father, I thank you. Oh, man, I tell you, this anointing right here is so strong. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Come on, darling. Thank you, Lord. Many years ago now, actually about 40 years ago now, I'm trying to think how old my Josh is. I think he's 40. Is that right? I should remember this and really razz him about that. Vicki and I were told we'd never have another child. Now, we had one, my daughter Dawn. But we were told we'd never have another child. In fact, we were told don't even try. Vicki was told, don't you dare get pregnant. And God appeared to me in a dream. You know, he can do that. Now, God can give you a dream. If you get to choose, Lord, show me a dream or appear in a dream, ask him to just show you one. But God appeared to me in a dream. He was in the dream. It wasn't something he was just showing me. He showed up. And he said, you're going to have a son, and you name him Joshua. And he'll help you all the days of your life, preach the gospel. Well, Vicki wasn't pregnant. And the doctor said, don't you dare, because there'll be something wrong with the baby. One doctor said, "This, if your wife gets pregnant, it'll probably kill her." And so it's not like, I mean, once the doctor said that, it's not like we were trying. You know, I mean, we weren't believing. And then Vicki got pregnant. And you know what everybody said? Oh, no. Say it. Oh, no. So everybody said, oh, no. I got so many oh, no's in 9 months. If I wrote a book, it'd be 720 pages, and there'd nothing be on it but, oh, no. Chapter 1, oh, no. Chapter 2, oh, no. And we had a son, of course, supernatural. Really without any major complications until the birthday, till the day of birth. I remember it. That doctor came out, and I was just pretty much fresh out of Vietnam. I'd been out, you know, out of the Marines a couple years or so. And the doctor came out, TJ, and he said, son, I need you to make a decision. I'm like, well, what is that? Nowadays, you know, you can go and help deliver the baby. In Jesus' name, you're going to have a baby and go and help deliver that baby. That's getting on you right now, isn't it? I see that going in you right there, son. He said, you got to choose. I don't think I can bring you. I don't think I can do the baby and your wife. Well, I remember what I did. I grabbed him by both lapels and got him right here, drill instructor level. I said, you get in there and you do what you do best, and my God will be with you. And you'll come out with my baby and my wife will be okay. Do you understand, doctor? You got it? Well, okay. So he went in. Josh was born. Vicky was okay. And the doctor come out holding him up, you know. And he didn't tell us yet. You know, nowadays you can go right in the delivery room when there's a complication, especially in those days. You're not getting near that. And that doctor looked at me and smiled and nodded. And he brought Josh to me and he handed him to me. And he said, your God showed up in there, son. You get your baby and your wife. I'm telling you that story on purpose. Because ever since that's happened, God has caused me or Vicky or me and Vicky to lay hands on couples who are wanting to have babies. We got to file that fat of just people struggling, trying to have a baby, and somehow the anointing of God came upon them through the office of the prophet. And I believe bleeding out of that testimony. Amen. Now, I'm going to call you pregnant. Now, y'all know you can't get pregnant through prophecy, right? You got that part down, right? It's the grandfather coming out of me, you know what I mean? You got it? So, well, if they weren't the preacher's kids, they'd probably leave the church over that. I don't know. I'm going to get my oil, and I'm going to anoint you with oil to become pregnant. Yes. That whatever it is, I don't know. I don't know if you know. I don't know. But I know this. God knows. My God, your God knows exactly what's going on here. It is the will of God for us to be a child. There's no question about it. There's no question about it. God's the life giver. And if something needs to be fixed, he's going to fix it. If something needs to be changed, he's going to change it. But I fully expect you to be a child. And I anoint your body for it. I anoint your body for it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be of child. Be pregnant of child. I thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Sing, man. Sing that healing song. Sing again.
You're holy.
Lay hands on her. Glory, lay hands on her. Lay hands on her. Come on, you have to lay hands on her. Come on. Be of child. Heal their bodies. Touch their bodies. You turn around three times and the anointing's going to jump on you. And the Lord said, I'm going to erase your slate. Isn't that beautiful, darling? I'm going to erase your slate. It's never going to haunt you again. And then the Lord said, I'm going to erase her slate. But on the third turn, I'm going to empower her to go forward and never be interrupted again. Turn now. Do it three times. Watch her, ushers. Watch her close. Watch her close. Yes! Yes! There's been a war going on. Satan has been bidding for your soul. He's been messing with you since you were a little girl. But I am not going to let him have you. He cannot have you. Not only the Lord says, do I want you, but I'm going to strengthen you and empower you to help a lot of other people. Woo! Yeah. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, who's this man I see? You got a man? No man? You don't want one? Whatever. If he's right. And he loves you. Got a few bucks in his pocket. Serves God. Huh. I see you so clearly with this man. I thought maybe he was already in your life. Now this man's going to have a problem. And the Lord wants you to know about it. This man's going to have a problem. The Lord said he's gonna have an issue of whether he loves you more or loves God more. He's going to really take care of you more than anybody's ever treated you before. I see it so clear in the spirit. You know, men can be really doorknobs. You know what I mean? But this guy is going to love your God. He's going to love your God. He's going to love you. He's going to take care of you, honey. You don't be afraid when it happens. Now, do you go to church here? You do? So Pastor Crabb is your pastor? So, now, just in case Satan slips in a counterfeit, Jim Crabb will just beat him out of this church. Don't worry about it. Amen? I see. You don't be afraid of it. This man's part of your future. He's going to really love you. I'm telling you. He's going to hold you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to protect you. You don't know that. You've never had it that good. You have it's a territory you've never lived in, but you're gonna. I see it. You're gonna. I agree with you on it. And you know what else? This guy, he's going to think you're the most beautiful woman on the planet. And he's going to mean it. He's going to be under your spell. You wait and see. You wait and see. Everybody say, I agree with that in Jesus' name. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, man. What a great time we always have in the Yelabada no Mr. Caleb Oshtifle and the Kistenda. They're going to hunt you down. They're going to hunt you down. And what Satan meant to stop you and hurt you and even take you out, all it's going to do is empower you to lay your hands. I see you driving and flying places. You say, don't you worry, honey. If you're too sick to come to me, I'll come to you. I'll be there tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. I say that in the spirit. And you will pray in tongues all the way there. Go lay hands on him, and a lot of people are going to get a miracle healing. I don't know. I've known you a long time, man. I don't think you've ever seen yourself like a healing evangelist or thing. But this manifestation is going to be now part of your whole life, Joe. It's part of the victory circle, I'm telling you. It's good, isn't it? You bear witness, don't you, Josh? Yeah. 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 Come right on over here and tell him. Give me a microphone somewhere, guys. Give me another microphone. Yeah, I knew you had something to tell him. Just go ahead and tell him. I'm going to go ahead and get dressed while you do that.
Chuck, I felt like the Lord was saying to me that, you know, there's kind of like a, sometimes the devil don't hand us the whole beach. It's just a few grains of sand at a time. And the heaviness and infirmity kind of run together. But the Lord shows me that the gallows had been built for you. There was a day you were supposed to die on it. It's high and large and uniquely positioned for all of hell to see. But God shows me that the devil's going to be hung on that gallows in a public way.
Yeah.
And every demon that he ever sent towards you, everyone that he ever thought would come to your house or come into your ministry or come onto your body, they're going to die on that gallows.
Yeah.
And God's going to show them openly as he did at the cross. He's going to make an open show of the devil. And this word is going to live large in your life. And you're going to be like a light in the city. And we believe now that God is enhancing that anointing as Doc talked about it. I can see it being enlarged with you. I just want you to know I had a liver transplant 18 years ago. And in my liver was cancer as big as a half a dollar. And God knew precisely when to move that liver from me. If I couldn't get the miracle, God made a way to get it out of my body.
Yes.
And I believe that the surgical power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God goes into you right now like a laser and just continues to move that off of your thyroid, off of your any place in your body.
Oh, yeah.
And the only thing that's going to die in you is cancer. You're not going to die. You're going to live and not die. And you're filled with life. You're filled with victory. In Jesus' name. He's never late. But he's sure last minute sometimes. So just hold on.
Never late.
Hold on to Jesus.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
Amen.
He knows exactly what he's doing, doesn't he? La basola mande la basta katola mashata. All of life, every demon, even a bunch of dumb people, is all meant to make you feel little, no good, lost, unimportant, insecure, inferior, amount to nothing. All of life is meant to draw you out of the spirit realm. And even though you love God, and just live natural. But we're not going to do that. We're supernatural people. We're not trying to be. We are supernatural people. Say, amen. Come here. Father, I thank you. I say we're supernatural people. Amen.
Amen.
We're supernatural people. Supernatural people. That's what we are. We're not trying to be. We are supernatural people. That's who we are. We walk. We're spiritual.
Come on, brother.
We are, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
We're spiritual, man.
We are.
We're not carnal people. We're spiritual people. Amen. I like that. I want to be spiritual. Amen. That's good, isn't it? Now, take this away from me. I don't know where that came from. It's like, well, man, microphones are manifesting. This is a great way to get new equipment, I guess, Josh. I don't know. Load that on my jet before I leave town. Now, thanks for holding me up. There was a trap set for you. A snare. And the devil said, I got her. I got her. I'm going to pluck her right out of that holy thing. Ha! But deep in your soul, you knew exactly who your God is. You know exactly how you were raised. And the call of God is written all over your life. You know, this comes to me. How old are you now?
16.
You're not. Seriously? Your mom's getting old. Let me tell you that right now. Are you really 16 already? Are you driving yet? Oh, thank you, Lord, that I fly, not drive. Hallelujah. We got to remember something. A young man cannot become fully equipped until a good woman enter his life and you have holy matrimony, because that's God's permission for him to grow up the rest of the way. And same with a good woman. You guys I wouldn't look at this one. You think you're going to mess with Jim Crabb? You better be careful. I'm not messing with your grandbaby here. But the same is true with young ladies. You young men got to understand that they're not going to be this perfect match for you because you haven't husbanded them yet.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It's an anointing. To be a husband, husband's another word for anointing. Wife's another word for anointing. Amen. But it'd be good if you started out with somebody that at least had enough ingredients to bake the whole cake. You know what I mean? Yeah, I thought I should. Yeah. You got to at least find somebody that God could anoint. Praise God. Now, y'all looking at her, but I'm looking at you. How many? Now, I know you're only 16, but how many of you other young people in here are just wanting to keep growing up and find a good person and marry them? Wave at me once if you do. Father, and we'll pray for you, baby. Father, first of all, help them not to ever get tripped up. There's so many traps and snares out there, Lord. They don't mean to, but the traps are hidden. They're camouflaged. Now, I pray right now they'll see them. They'll stay out of them. And I pray, Lord, for these that are single that want to be married. Now you can't get married at 16. You know that, right? Okay, just so we're clear on this. I don't want you to go home and say, hey, Mom, Dad, the prophet said he's believing for me to be married. I am. When you're like 35 or something. Father, we put our lives into your hands. We put our babies into your hands. Protect them from all unreasonable and wicked people and the spirit of the world, and let them bump together holy, holy men and women, holy matrimony, living a great life together. In Jesus' name, amen. I sure love you. Thanks for holding me up again. Amen. Praise God. Give her a good hand clap. Come on. Now, this morning, I know not all of you were here, maybe even couldn't be here, but this morning I gave the 18 wells of life according to the scriptures. Honestly, you need to get that recording. I hope you guys did record that this morning, right? You need to get that recording from this morning, because you know this 2-day conference designed by the Holy Ghost was based on the book of Genesis and Isaac digging out the wells. Now, first, they dug out the wells that Abraham, his father, had dug. The Philistines filled them up. But then after that, they went and dug other wells and just found flowing life. Flowing life. But if you don't know what the wells are, how do you know how to keep them cleaned out so water flows, see? That's why we took we had a whole seminar in here this morning. Praise God. And I want you to get that recording and go home and listen to it, first of all, and write down all 18 wells. Write down the verses. You can add other verses. Write down the verses I gave you. And then start looking at every one of those in your life. Okay, I'll give you one example. I'm not preaching tonight now, but the first well of life. You know, a well, these wells were established by God to be life flowing. They're supposed to add to our life. One of those great wells was in my hand, the Word of God. Now, the devil doesn't want you to study the Word. He certainly doesn't want you to be in church to hear it preached. Why? Because faith comes by hearing by the Word. How will they hear without a? How will they preach unless they were? Well, there's a lot of hirelings that God never sent, but they can preach all day long, but they don't have permission to release the supernatural element of faith. This is so important. You know it, Rev. This is so important because the Bible says it's our faith that overcomes this world. This is the victory, King James Version. This is the victory that overcometh this world, even our faith. Now, you can't download faith. You can't upload it. You can't buy it down at the cereal section at the store. It's not canned, bottled, or frozen. You listen to me? You can't even get it by the laying on of hands. You're not going to get it praying. And like we said this morning, your eye was never given permission to extract faith from the Word of God. Read it all you want to, and you should. Now, you can extract knowledge, information, even inspiration from reading and getting the stories. Sure. You can get enlightenment. The Lord can open the understanding, your understanding, so that you can enjoy the Scriptures. But none of that is faith. Only your ear has been given permission to extract faith. Invisible, supernatural. Your five senses will never pick up faith. You know what I'm saying? But your inner ear, and the ear of your spirit man will say it that way. That's why you got to dig out the well, man. Let me make it more simple. How much do you study your Bible? How many verses have you memorized this week? I'm asking you. You all look like, Bible? What's a Bible? How much do you read it? And how often do you come to church to hear it preached? See? And so this is one of the great wells of life. Yeah, I mean, this thing here, man, let me just tell you. So if you don't dig out, see, the Philistines, the world, the flesh, the devil, the hurt, the disappointment, the hard work, the long hours. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. There's a lot of things that clog up that plumbing, that well. And at first you just bring up dirty water. Dumb thinking. Dumb doctrine. Just dirty water. But as you clean it out and keep it clean, living water will just flow from you. It'll wash your mind with the water, the Word of God. There's healing, to, you know, right to your flesh and to your bones, man. So you never That's an example of how to clean out your will. So you judge yourself. It's not up to us to judge you. You judge. I judge myself. So I say, Mark Barclay, how often are you reading your Bible, son? How many verses have you memorized lately? How often do you hear preaching from really anointed preachers? See, do you really present? Now, you preachers know this, but even in ministry, you can get so busy that you only study this to make a sermon. You can get so maxed out busy, man, that before you know it, you're robbing your own Bible study. Now, another great well that goes with is prayer. Believe it or not, even preachers can get so busy they rob their own time with God to help other people. You know, you didn't know that? You think we just get up in our jammies and eat our bagel with jelly on it and drink our coffee and do nothing all day but golf? Is that what you thought? Wow. Wow. Follow me around for 3 days if you can keep up, and I'll show you how this is done. Today alone, I received over 2,000 emails, 1,500 and some texts. Our ministry received about 200, and I think more than that, somewhere under 300 phone calls. And that's since I woke up this morning. By the time I go to bed tonight, I want to illustrate something to you. I'm going to leave here, go get on the jet, and I'm going to fly home because I got business in the morning, and then I'm flying out again, and I go about every day. And when I get home, it'll be a little, I mean, it's only like a whatever it is from here, I don't know, 45 minutes or something, or an hour or something. I'll be home. I'll get to my house, and somewhere around midnight, I start calling Australia and New Zealand and Singapore and the islands, because it's their time zone. And I'll work another couple hours. Now, it'd be easy, real easy, that I could get so busy that I neglect my own prayer life and say, well, I love to pray, but man, well, how do I put that in? How do I fit that in? I love to study my Bible, but are you kidding me? I mean, I'm not going to answer all those emails, but I got to tell someone else how to answer them. Are you listening? So even a preacher the wells can get filled up with dirt and sand. Pretty soon it's cloudy water, man. And then you wonder, where'd my power go? Where, you know? Okay. Yes, I am preaching now, but I didn't. It's by default. I didn't purpose to. I just, preachers default to preaching. Amen. That's what we do. Praise the Lord. So, in common terms, you got to find these 18 wells. Everybody has the same 18 wells, you know, or maybe I'll say they're available to all humans. There's not 17 and there's not 19. The Bible gives us 18 of them. And you got to find them and make sure, first of all, they're activated in your life, that you found them. And you got to keep them cleaned out. Is that clear enough? Because no one's going to do that for you. There's not a person that'll do that for you. Nobody. You got to do it yourself. So it's as simple as, how much do I read my Bible? How much do I listen to the preaching? Not just go for it. How much do I memorize? Church this morning, we said church is another great well of life. There's all kinds of reasons why you want to go to church. There's all kinds of New Testament verses that teach you to go to church. You know? And I don't think people can make that connection. They don't seem to anyways. You do, I guess, but a lot of people don't. So if the well of God's house, one of the greatest things ever given to human beings, was God's house. Get married here, you get buried here, dedicate your babies here, you worship God here, present your tithe here, give your offering here, spend time at the altar here, come here together for corporate prayer, corporate worship, corporate praise. And the list goes on of the benefits of God's house. That's why, I'll tell you a secret, You can always tell what God loves the most because it's what the devil attacks the most. If God loves it the most, the devil hates it the most. That's why there's this constant attack to keep God's people out of church. The devil hates church. There's not one devilish, demonic, diabolical thing in church. There's not one good demonic reason for him to let you come to church. He's going to fight you tooth and nail. Keep you out of this house. Keep you out from under a pastor. Drive you through life. Just push you and drive you and keep you away from the leadership of the church. So, what do you do about that? You judge yourself. You say, okay, that well of God's house, how's that looking for Mark Barkley? Is my church attendance a little dirty water? When I come here, what do I do? Do I listen? Do I learn? Do I ask God to touch me? Do I serve? Or I just kind of come and hope it gets over with really quick? And do I come? And how often do I come? Now you see, something we haven't got into this week, we should have maybe another time. You got to stop having a God complex. I hope you don't. I hope you figured that out. But part of the fallen human nature is to have a God complex where you're like a God unto yourself. Right. Adam has grown up. The fallen nature, that's why the perversion runs so deep now and so blatant, because the fallen nature of man, Adam, he's not a little baby in Eden anymore. He's a full grown up flesh mongrel, Adam. And so the stuff we're seeing happen now, you didn't even see 25 years ago. Are you kidding me? But Adam is showing off. Now, so you got to make sure, but the preacher too, I got to make sure I don't have some God complex. You know what a God does? What he wants. But God submits to nothing because in his mind there's no higher power. Who do you think you are, preacher? Telling me what to do. So what, Jim Crabb? I've had people say, Barclay, you put your pants on the same way I do.
Yes.
Okay. But you see, it's a God. I come when I want to, they say, and I leave when I want to. I attend when I want to, and I don't attend when I don't want to. I tithe when I feel like it, and when I don't, I don't. And I give what I want to when I want to, and I don't care what you say, preacher. A God complex. And it's all, now America is submitting to this Adam. And that's what we're facing as pastors. We really are, man. It's all about me. Did you bless me? Am I happy? Did we have happy church? You know? Did I get anything out of it? Is it my style? God complex. It's all about me. Whether or not I'm happy and whether or not I get blessed and whether or not I get my own way. Okay. Guess I'll go home. They're done with me. Sean, no amens or nothing, man. It's just like, wow. God complex. And then stuff don't work because that well is all clogged up. You know? Now watch this. I watched this fireman in our city. They went to this fire hydrant and hooked their big hose up to it, turned the lever to, you know, every spring or something, they clean them out or something, whatever they do. And two guys had a hold of this big old hose, and one guy took the big wrench and turned it. Seriously, that hose seemed to be that big around. I don't know how big they really are, but that's what it seemed like to me. And it was supposed to come out so fast and whip around that the front guy braced himself and a backup guy was like this on the hose. And they turned that wrench, and it was no powerful than my garden hose. That's all the water that came out. I almost went out there by my house. I almost went out and said, you want me to send my wife out here to hold that for you? It's just, you know, garden hose size. And I'm watching them, right? And that other guy went and grabbed this great big old wrench, and he came out and he whacked that thing about 3 times. Holy angels in heaven. If I could do that to Christians, I'd get me a big wrench. Are you kidding me, man? I'd be passing out pipe wrenches in church, you know. Whack that guy was for it. I'm telling you, man, that must have been clogged up or something, because he just whacked it a few times, you know. And all of a sudden, Charlie, that water came out of there, and those boys were hanging on to that hose, man. I mean, it just like flooded the street in no time. I thought, man, that's clogged up plumbing for you. Now, I love you. I love you. I do in Christ. But you got to get that clog out, man. In every well of life, you got to get the water flowing, or you're just going to live weak and scared and miserable and look like you're a big deal and have a little bit of water coming out. I'm preaching good. I know I wasn't going to, but man. Amen. Now, I want everybody to lift a hand. In fact, I want all these preachers to come back up here right now. Come on, all the preachers. Just line up. We're going to bless you right now. All the preachers, come up, raise a hand. Praise God. We're going to bless all of you. You ready? In the name... Where's all the women at? Thank you.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Wow. Get up here. What's the deal? You boss us around at home. You might as well get up here and be part of the...
Why stop now?
Yeah, that's right. Report for duty, sister. You all act like you're silent and quiet or something. Oh, yeah, sure, right. Yeah, we buy that. Let's lift your hands to us now. We're going to lift our hand over you. Father, now there are things here that we didn't call out. There are things here, Lord, that we didn't necessarily prophesy over somebody or even lay a hand on them. But you're very aware of every need represented. You know everything that we have we need to get pulled out of. And I pray over all of us, the preachers. Look at all these priests. Look at all these priests. We lay hands over you. We declare strength to you. We declare in the name of Jesus healing into your bodies. And we declare your future's bright. And whatever God's got to turn, whatever he's got to turn to get you to live in the high life, he's going to turn it. You're going to live in the high life, not the low life. You're going to unclog your wells. Yes. Praise God. You're going to do it in Jesus' name. And God's going to use you like never before in the name of Jesus. Everybody say, in the name of Jesus, I receive it. All right, now I'm going to tell you one thing. Go back and get some materials and study them. And get back in action if you're not. Get this recording from this morning and go study the 18 wells and start unclogging them and get the vibrant life of Christ flowing again. Now, I'm not in business. I'm not a businessman. I'm a preacher. There were times in my life, probably all of us up here, that I'd go by we'd be at a conference or something, and I'd go by the book table, the product table. And there were times I told Vicki, I said, Vicki, I know if I could get a hold of that right there, that would change our life. Yeah. But we didn't have the money.
Didn't have the money.
Well, listen, I'm the guy that hocked my ring. You know, the Marines, you know, when I come back from combat, they give me this great big old ring, you know. And one morning, Josh, on the news, I was just getting ready to go to, I still work for the Marines. I'm getting ready to go to the range, you know. I was an instructor. And as I walked through my living room, the TV was on, the news was on, and they said gold just went to all times high. So I listened a minute. I called my pastor who I was helping in church. I said, if gold's at all time high, where do you go? He said, to buy it or sell it. That's what I did. I said, oh, I don't mind buying no gold. You forget who you're talking to, Pastor? I'm talking about selling it. I took that ring down, and they weighed that thing. I didn't know the Marines were that rich. We weighed that thing, And they bought it from me to melt it down. And I took that money, and I got Vicky, and we got in our Volkswagen Beetlebug. And we drove from San Diego, California to Tulsa, Oklahoma, praying in the Spirit and singing and holding hands to get to Kenneth E. Hagin's camp meeting.
Yes.
And it just happened to be the camp meeting that hooked me and Dr. Hagin together for a long time. Yeah. A miracle.
It's great.
One ring. I forgot all about that until a few years ago. I told that story, Charlie. And this lady came up, and she said, I can't tell you. I just can't tell you what a blessing this service was. I said, well, thank you, ma'am. And she pulls out, believe it or not, she pulls out a Marine Corps ring. Now, this ring I had was not one you go buy at the PX. She pulls out a Marine Corps honor ring, identical to the one that I hocked years ago. And she said, I saw this ring in this gold place where you sell them by gold exchange. And she said, I saw that. And the Lord said, buy that ring and I'll tell you what to do with it later.
That's awesome.
And so I bought it and threw it in my purse. And I've been tormented on what to do with that ring until you told that story tonight.
My.
And she don't go to my church. She was visiting a conference. She said, you told that story tonight, and I reached in. I didn't even have to look, she said. I reached in that little purse and got that ring out, and she said, I didn't want to put it in the offering, Dr. Barclay. I want to put it on your finger. Identical. I have that. It's identical.
That's good.
Isn't it? Now, I know if Brother Osteen or Brother Hagin or them, you know, if they would have known I was at their table and was desperate, they would have gave me that stuff. They would have. So I'm telling you tonight, you need that stuff. That's why I haul it all over the world. But if you go back there tonight and you don't have the money for something, but you know it'll change your life. Now, they don't let me do this on the printed stuff because of the licensing contract. But anything that's recorded, I don't care what it is. You don't have the money for it, you just take it. Just take it. I'll give it to you. You're not stealing, I'm giving it to you. And then one day you'll get blessed. And when you do, God will nudge your heart and you send our ministry a blessing. And I don't want your name or nothing. I'm not going to bill you. Now listen, Ananias and Sapphira. Come on. If you got the money to do it, then don't go back there and act like you don't, but I just want you blessed. We want you blessed. Amen. Don't we?
Yes.
Oh, I guess I got to sit down. I don't want it then. Yeah? Whew. Isn't this great? I just love that. I love the anointing that's in this house right here. I think we'll lift our hands to Him. You bear witness with that? I don't know. When I was a young preacher, I didn't know when to quit. I just pushed through. Even after God left, Mark was still there. And later on, I just know now. When God's done, enjoy it for a moment and pull the plug and go about your business. And so, Lord, once again, I pray for supernatural happenings. That all kinds of supernatural happenings begin to manifest in our life. Okay. Look at me one more time. I really am trying to quit. If you read our text in Genesis later, after they dug out the wells that Father Abraham and his crew dug. Now, this wasn't one guy, Isaac, out there with a little paddle. This was all of his servants, the Bible says. Now, I have an assignment for you, and it's not from Brother Barclay. It's from God. If you reject my assignment, it won't bother me any because I'm not giving it to you. I'm just the mouthpiece. I'm just the delivery boy. God said, you tell them to go find everybody they know that's on church and help them dig out the well of church attendance. Get them back in the house of God. Say, I'll help you. Come on back. I'll help you. Come with me. We're going to do it. There's so many people on church nowadays everywhere. And it's to their detriment. They need to be back in the house of God. Uh-huh. And to you pastors, I'm telling you, the prodigals, a lot of them are coming home.
Yes.
It's the day of the prodigal coming home. They're going to come home.
Yeah.
But I assign you, by God, not by Mark, you think and pray about people you know that should be in church that are on church. They got hurt, mad, bad, sad, disappeared, wandered off, grew cold, something, I don't know. Don't interrogate them. We're not detectives. Go find them and go get them. And say, I'm going to help you dig out that well of church attendance. I'm going to be your friend and we're going back to church. Do not ask them if they want to come to church. Stop asking. Well, do you have a word for that, Brother Barkley? Yeah, thanks for asking. Remember Jesus said he came out in the banquet hall. Was mostly empty. And Jesus said, well, where is everybody that I invited? To his servant. I guess that's all of us. That's you. Well, where is everybody? And those scriptures say they gave, well, we invited everybody that that you told us to, but they gave excuse. They had three excuses. You know what they were? Family time, work, and play. Same excuses people have today. And he said, well, their invitation is canceled. Fill their chair. Go out into the, you know, no, first he said, go get the lame and the blind and the, and bring them in here. And his servant said, well, we've already done that. And the Lord said, and there's still room here? So basically he said, their invitation is canceled. Now go into the, this is what you started to say, go into the highways and the byways and do what?
Compel.
Now notice this went from invite to go get to compel. The day of inviting is over. You can invite people to church all you want and most of them don't come. The day of invitation is like over. Okay? And you can go get them and say, hey, I'll pick you up. That's pretty much over. You're going to have to compel them. Not ask them. Compel them with great boldness. You are going back to God's house and I'm going to stay on you and haunt you until you do.
Yes.
I'm compelling you.
Compelling.
Amen. I'll help you dig the well out. I know you haven't done it in a while. It's going to take a little digging. Get the water flowing. But I'm going to help you do it. You know, that's why I wrote that little book, Have You Seen This Person Lately? That's what I call it. It's just a little mini book. Have You Seen This Person Lately? I wrote it not for you, but for prodigals. You know, prodigals don't know how to come home. They don't. Where do they go to find out? Am I going to get beat? Are they going to judge me? Will I be humiliated? In fact, will they even let me have that, Brian. Thanks. Man, you not only fly that jet, you're good book salesman, man. Amen. Come on, Brian Senor, give him a good hand clap. See? Have you seen this person lately? Now, you can put this in a back pocket. You can put a Christian size tip in here and leave it for a server, a Christian size. You put $2 in here on a $35 ticket, and she's going to tear this up and spit on it. You got to. But I wrote this because prodigals don't know how to come home. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. So you can get this tool in their hand. It's a great tool. Amen. You know, prodigals, too, their biggest deal is they don't know what now to say to the people that they've been saying all the bad stuff to.
That's right.
They've been running with a pack of wolves. Or a whole pack of other prodigals who are all bleeding and They can't stop the bleeding. They just keep bleeding out until their spiritual life is gone. Now, what if I'm one of them and I want to come home? What do I tell those people? What do I say? Because we've all mocked church, and we've all licked each other's wounds, and that's why we wrote this. This is a great tool. It's not very expensive either. I think this one's like $39 or something. Just seeing if you're still listening. Praise the Lord. That's back there. Amen. Give that to somebody that needs God really bad. I love you. Be blessed. Be blessed. I love you. Praise God. Be blessed.
Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Let's lift our hands and tell the Lord we receive everything that's happened, everything that's been said. Let that anointing come into our lives. Pastor, I'm going to ask you one more, tax you one more moment, if I might. Can you come? Samantha, come here, baby. This is something special that God did for me today. You know, when you have these meetings, you know, my first prayer was, God, please let my church family show up. Let them hear my heart on what we're doing here and come. I knew, you know, it's embarrassing to the preacher when people will drive like these folks did from Illinois. How long is it, Pat? They drove 4 hours to get in this meeting. Pastor and Mrs. Moore came, how long, Pastor? 3 hours to come. Miss Vicki Holland came from Indianapolis. Pastor Aaron and his family, how long did it take you? A couple hours. And then and on. And Dr. Barclay came all the way from Midland, Michigan.
That's,
yes,
not
he did.
Michigan out of this, bro.
I know.
You're acting like a Buckeye.
I know, man. You know that feeling, man. It's embarrassing when other people will drive 4 hours to get in that meeting and then people in your own church won't come. Yeah. And they'll have all those excuses. I need time with my family. I need this and that. Anyway, but when you call the meeting, I worked this meeting. I prayed over this meeting. God, send the right people. Let the right people get in this meeting. And you never know, you know, who's going to show up. And this morning, one of our girls, came walking back and said, you want to see a special treat visitor? And I said, absolutely. They brought, and in came Samantha. This is Samantha Routson. And I met Samantha when she was at Eastern Kentucky University back in the early 80s, I guess it was. And she was in college there at Eastern Kentucky. And I was preaching at another church in Richmond, Kentucky. And she was just in that little church. And we connected there. And right after, that's when we were coming to Cincinnati to plant Courts of Praise. And Samantha, because we'd met each other and we already had a connection in the Spirit, she came. And she was one of the earliest church members in my ministry here in this city.
Wow.
She helped us. We went back then, believe it or not, man, we had a television broadcast, didn't we? Called The Cutting Edge. We won the Blue Chip Award for this region year after year after year. And that's because Samantha produced that program for us. She played keys for us. She served in the house of God. And she's done so many things for her. And I haven't seen her in many, 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 many years and really gotten to be with her. So this was a real treat. And she's in a time of transition right now, Pastor. This is a crossroads, is her words. And she came because she heard about this meeting. And she said, I'm at a crossroads in my life. And I want to get. She's been in many Dr. Barclay meetings early on. And she came, and she's serving in another church now on staff at another place. But I just would ask you, Pastor.
Sure.
Because of the grace that Samantha showed me all my life, man. This is one of my girls, man.
Let the blessing of God to be on her. La bole flineste. Yeah. Don't be afraid now. I'm about to move you about. Fear it not. Just follow my lead like you've always done. But you're going back to some of your roots. I'm calling you back to some of your roots where you can thrive under the great anointing that you so love. Yeah. And every hindering spirit will be bound, and your mind will clear up, and the confusion will drift away from you. So you're not caught in between the pros and the cons and the ups and the downs. You'll just be led by Spirit. And because of that, I'm going to promote your life. I'm going to promote you spiritually, and I'm going to promote you in the natural. You're not just Pastor Crab's girl. You're my girl. Yes. And I got things for you to do. And that's why I'm taking you to a more powerful place. And I speak that over you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah.
Stretch Amen. Your hand out towards Samantha Praise and pray. God. Father, guide her by the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the greatest hour of her life is right now unfolding. And there's nothing the devil can do about it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Love you, sweetheart. I love you. I believe in you. Thank you. Give her a good hand clap, man. Thank God. That's awesome. It just does my heart good to see one of your family, one of your girls and sons and daughters in the faith come around. It's like you've been gone away from home for a long time, not doing anything bad, doing something good. But it's awesome to see you. You know, when you fought battles together and you've gotten your hands bloody in war spiritually together, there's some kind of connection that happens between you, man. And we slayed a lot of devils together, sister. And we may slay more together. Who knows what God might do? Amen.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crabb and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com.